part 3B. And next Sunday night will probably be part 3C, now that I see how much time I've got. So Exodus chapter 23. And Brad, I don't know if you've got that on the PowerPoint, but that's something that you can bring up if you don't mind, please. Exodus chapter 23. Let me begin by just going to the verse that we're going to consider tonight. It's verse 29 and verse 30. The Lord says this to the children of Israel, speaking of the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. I will not drive them out from before thee in one year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Please note here that God says he's going to do this by little and little. These are the current occupants, the current inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Something he's going to do gradually. Thank you, sir. If you'll see up on the screen that he'll have up here in just a minute, we're going to see that we're looking at God's grace and man's responsibility. God's grace is that he is giving this land to his people, not because they deserve it. Grace is something you get you don't deserve. They are getting this land not because they deserve it, but by God's grace. Once man gets that land, does he have any responsibility with the land? By all means, he has a responsibility. And so we have seen that God has said, I will bless thy bread and thy water. I will take sickness away. Let me get you up to speed on up here on the screen. We see that the primary emphasis of this passage, verses 20 to 33, is God's work. The secondary emphasis is man's work. We see that God gives the assurance that he is going to guide them. That's his divine conduct. His assurance, man's responsibility, given in the verses 21 to 22. The assurance of divine conflict. I made this point that if you are following God's guidance in this world, what's going to naturally result? Conflict. If he is conducting you, you will be in conflict with this world because God himself is in conflict with the system and the values of this world. God gives assurances in verse 23. Man's responsibility noted in verses 24 to 25. Then we see the assurance of divine conquest, that God will take care of blessing your bread and water, taking sickness away, fulfilling your days. I will send my fear. I will destroy, which means I will diminish or I will intimidate the enemy. I will make the enemies turn their backs and I will send hornets. Those are all things that we've looked at in past weeks. God is going to send the hornets. But tonight, he says, I will drive out. Well, you see that in verse 29 again. I will drive out. It's stated this way, I will not drive them out from before thee in one year, lest the field become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out. So, I will drive them out by little and little. Somebody has said, how is it that you take a long trip? What is the best way to make a long trip? Well, the best way to do it is mile by mile. The best way to do something is one step at a time. God is saying to them, I am not going to do this in one year. You note that? I'm not going to do it in one year. I am going to do this little by little. Now, we've been making parallels between what God is having Israel do with the promised land to what we as believers need to be doing in occupying and possessing what God has for us today in our current Christian lives. The wrongful inhabitants that we need to drive out are those sins, the besetting sins that each of us has. Sometimes the designer lusts that we somewhat pet and keep in our lives that need to be driven out. The wrongful inhabitants, the parasite of anger, the hivites of lust, and so forth and so on. God says, I will drive them out by little and little. You say, no, wait a second, can you make a parallel here that aren't we supposed to become holy right away. Yes, that would be ideal, but you know by experience that sanctification is a process. And that becoming more like Christ takes time. Years ago, we did the study through Jim Berg's series on Changed into His Image. The text is entitled Changed into His Image. The workbook we went through says, taking time to change. Because, folks, it takes time. A new believer can get real discouraged when they see, oh, man, I got victory over this, but then right after I got victory over this, here's something else. And then I got victory over that. Boy, here's something else. And do you know, do you realize that the closer you draw to the Lord, the more you're going to see more things in your life that need to be taken care of? The closer I am to Him, the more I realize how far I really am from Him in my practice. Positionally, because of what I am in Christ, I am completely righteous in the sight of God. And our practice needs to match our position. But so long, folks, as we are in this flesh, it'll be a daily battle, like we saw this morning. God will take care of it, drive them out by little and little. Don't get discouraged. But at the same time, don't make that an excuse to say, well, it's going to happen little by little, so I'm just going to indulge myself in this because, well, it's going to happen little by little. No, the enemy, as you confront them, needs to be driven out. So God says by little and little. God would only allow them to possess the land incrementally. There's a wrong perception that Israel went in and blasted everybody out. How many of you remember the Persian Gulf War of 1991? How long did that take? Does anybody remember? 100 hours. Wouldn't that be great if our Christian life would be like that? You go in, dispossess the enemy, all the sins and the old man, the old nature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But the old man is still there. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 6 and 7. How that, oh, that old nature, the things that I should not do, I do. And the things I should do, I don't do. And, oh, wretched man, there's this constant struggle that takes place. And he talks about it in Galatians chapter 5, how the Spirit wars against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. There's this battle that's taking place. And when you don't have the victory, you feel like giving up. Well, it's little by little. Don't get discouraged. But don't make an excuse at the same time. Does God have the ability with the children of Israel, instead of saying, by little, little, doesn't God have the ability to say, you go in 100 hours, they're out of there? Does God have that ability? He does. Does He have that ability even in your life? Yes. Why then doesn't He do it? God does have that ability. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Note verses 20 to 22. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. By little and little, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. So the reason He doesn't do it immediately is the reason given. Lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. That's the reason given there in Exodus chapter 23. Here in the parallel passage in Deuteronomy chapter 7. This is actually said later, but it's parallel to what was said in Exodus chapter 23. Lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. In other words, if the children of Israel had gone in, completely decimated the enemy, overnight, so to speak, what does God say is going to happen? the beasts of the field would multiply against you. The beasts would get the upper hand. They would endanger the lives of man. They would endanger the lives of your domesticated animals. Therefore, it's not going to happen all at once. It's by little and little. If you go to Leviticus chapter 26 sometime, verses 21 and 22, you're going to see that one of the plagues for disobedience, if the children of Israel were going to disobey God's covenant that He's giving here, one of the plagues would be that the beasts of the field would multiply against them. God uses, because of man's sin, sometimes nature itself in punishment to man. When the 10 tribes were carried into captivity, you'll find this in 2 Kings 17, 25 to 26. I intended to go there. We don't have time. But you will note there that when the Assyrians came in and took the children of Israel captive to Assyria, left a few back there, you know what multiplied? The beasts multiplied. So much so that the king of Assyria had to decide, what are we going to do to avert this, where the beasts are taking over the land? Folks, we expect that with God on our side, victories are going to be immediate and without struggle and without pain. And sometimes as a believer, you get discouraged and think, this isn't right. This constant struggle in my Christian life is not right. Let me encourage you with something. Many times it's what God intends. That struggle is what He intends. Again, I want to stress, not as an excuse for you to keep doing what you know is wrong. Because we are exhorted in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There should be observable growth taking place in your Christian life. If it is not taking place, why not? But at the same time, don't get discouraged and give up when you don't have the land conquered and you haven't arrived at sinless perfection. Has anyone ever arrived at sinless perfection other than Jesus Christ? No. There are some who teach it. The Wesleyans taught sinless perfection. No, it's going to be by little and little. What are the beasts that would multiply against you? I listed some. The beast of pride. Can you imagine if you overcame all those beasts? You would say, hey, I have arrived to sinless perfection. All of a sudden, you are advertising that which you are not. You say you're sinlessly perfect and you're proud. Pride itself is a sin. So there's the beast of pride. You can probably come up with some others. There's the pride of, or there's the beast of lukewarmness. Listen, if I've arrived, there's no more work to do. That's a beast. The beast of apathy, the beast of idleness. That's what got David into trouble, was idleness. The victories were all taken care of. And a time when kings go forth to war, David stayed back. And, you know, I've accomplished, I've done my work. And there's the beast of idleness. There's the beast of prosperity. I don't need God. You fill in the blank. The beasts that begin to overtake when you feel you have arrived. God keeps the enemy there for a reason. And I'm going to close with this. I got much more to say on this, but let me close with this. Go to Judges chapter 2, and you're going to see that not only was it because the beasts of the field would multiply, but two more reasons given in Judges chapter 2 and again in chapter 3. It's amazing how much what I am going through on Sunday nights in the book of Exodus coincides with what we're doing on Sunday mornings in the books of Joshua and Judges. Judges chapter 2, look at verses 21 and 22 and 23. I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Why? That through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered He them into the hand of Joshua. Why, folks? to test Israel's faith. You know, it's a real test of your faith when you are faced with the enemy, when you're faced with the beasts in your life. Am I going to give in to this? Or am I going to take God by His word? Am I going to trust Him on a daily basis? Am I going to live for Him on a daily basis? So those things that are in your life that you can't overcome, that are seemingly insurmountable, God may be leaving that there to test your faith. But there's another reason given in Judges 3, 1 through 3. Now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Think about it. There were some who had came up who didn't know war. Verse 2, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. You remember the Philistines that David faces in 1 Samuel? They're still there. Why? To teach Israel to fight. We were talking about fighting this morning. And sometimes God leaves those things in our lives to teach us to fight, so that we don't become lazy and lackadaisical, so that we might learn to live by faith and might learn to fight. Folks, spiritual victories happen by little and little. One of the requirements for a bishop given in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is that he not be a novice, lest he become overcome by pride. Couldn't handle the ministry. Couldn't handle the pastorate. Not because he doesn't have the ability to administrate. He doesn't have the ability to handle his pride. Maybe you can't get complete victory right now because you can't handle it. You learn by each battle. This application to our church. Are there obstacles that our church faces? Why can't we just have a youth group? Why can't we just have a lot of children? Why can't we just burst at the seams? Have you noticed that Westside grows by little and little? Takes a step back? Maybe two? Maybe three? And it happens by little and little. Have you learned anything over the last few years through the trials? Has your faith increased? I tell you, mine has when we went through what we went through this last year or two. But I've got to trust the Lord. Now, if I had had complete spiritual victory and our church would just be smooth sailing, you know what we'd become like? There's a church called Laodicea. In Revelation chapter 3, that becomes lukewarm, rich and increased with goods and has need of, we don't need anything. But folks, the Lord tests our faith that you still, we need Him. Take that which applies to our church as a whole and apply that to yourself individually in the things you face on a daily basis. You may have spiritual victory today and tomorrow, and things may go smoothly, but be ready. Don't rest. Something else will come to face you. Because as long as you're in this body, as long as you're in this flesh, there's going to be a battle. Don't let that discourage you. Let that encourage you to trust God more on a daily basis. Do you get it? Let's live by faith. Let's fight. Lord, I pray that we indeed would walk with You and that we would not be discouraged but encouraged. Sure, the children of Israel would have looked at this gradual, slow, little by little.